Today, the Volatility Dragon has not been slayed. Brace for more fiery swings. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and prop news, and this is our regular weekly market update. Investors' hopes were running high at the start of 2024, but the S&P 500 index started the year by stripping around 2.2% off its December peak, while the all-important 10-year US Treasury yield jumped back from recent lows 3.78% to above 4%. So investors have been cautious in the opening sessions of 2024 as they wait further clarity on when interest rate cuts will begin and how quickly they will happen. In fact, hopes for a swift pace of easing had triggered a blistering rally in the final weeks of 2023, which took the S&P 500 to within 1% of its all-time high. So any undermining of that hypothesis will be a cue for profit-taking, and so no surprise then that we could be in for a rocky stretch in the markets. That said, it seems most investors have still maintained a rosy view of everything, from the US economy and corporate profits to the Federal Reserve's monetary policy trajectory. For example, the narrative of resilient growth and gradually cooling inflation that helped boost that S&P 500 index has been still the consensus view. But US stock indices endured a topsy-turvy session on Friday, though ultimately closed marginally higher, but all three benchmarks recorded their first weekly declines for 10 weeks. The S&P 500 dropped 1.54%, while the NASDAQ Composite slumped 3.26%, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average dipped 0.59% from the start of the year. So, for the S&P 500, it was actually the worst weekly performance since last October, while the NASDAQ posted its worst week since late September. For now, it probably looks like a healthy correction for a market that was overbought at the end of last year, said Greg Bootle, head of US equity and derivative strategy at BNP Paribas. Friday's session saw markets gyrate through the day, actually, as investors absorbed the latest macroeconomic data, which offered contrasting views on when interest rate cuts might begin. Initially, robust jobs data in a report from the Labor Department that showed US employers hired more workers than expected in December doused expectations of rapid easing of interest rates, pushing futures lower. The December non-farm payroll reported an increase of 216,000 compared with the projected 170,000, and the unemployment rate stood at 3.7% compared with the estimate of 3.8%. The December print also marked the 36th consecutive monthly increase in jobs growth. On Thursday, a report by ADP had stated that payrolls in the private sector rose by 164,000, exceeding the 130,000 expected by economists. So the report on Friday triggered an instant market reaction and pushed the 10-year yield above 4% and sent stock futures tumbling. US Treasury yields continued their uptrend, with the 10-year note rising to 4.044% and the 2-year climbed slightly to 4.39%. Traders, by the way, still see a 66.4% chance of at least a 25 basis point cut in March. That's according to the FedWatch tool. However, a survey from the Institute of Supply Management then showed activity in the services sector fell in December, pointing to a weaker economy. And that encouraged those betting on rapid easing, sending markets higher through the morning and into the afternoon. Despite further undulations in the afternoon, ultimately, the three benchmarks eked out a winning finish to the day, which was the first positive session of 2024 for both the S&P and the NASDAQ. In terms of the macro data, I think there's something for everybody in terms of the data that we're seeing, said Bootle. And he added, though this week's data releases were unlikely to have convinced anyone to have changed their minds from the position on rate cut bets coming in the year. In the end, the S&P 500 gained 0.18% to end at 4,697, while the NASDAQ gained 0.09% to 14,524, and the Dow Jones rose 0.07% to 37,466. Actually, the financials index led amongst the S&P 500 sectors, going up 0.53% to 728.43 as banks continue to perform well ahead of the start of earnings season next week and hitting an 11-month high. Large regional banks were buoyant, with Zions Bancorp, Citizens Financial and Comerica all rising between 2.6 and 3.3%. Elsewhere, Applied Therapeutics tumbled 40.6% after the drug developer's heart disease drug showed disappointing results in a late-stage trial. Palantir Technologies lost 1.7% after Jefferies downgraded the data analytics firm to underperform on high stock valuations. And Peloton jumped 9.6% after the fitness equipment maker said that it will bring its workout content to short-form video platform TikTok in an exclusive partnership. The latest Bank of America Global Research survey released last month showed that 66% of fund managers believe the economy will achieve a soft landing in 2024. Only 15% of fund managers expect a recession in the next 12 months, and a sharp contrast there from a year ago when 68% of investors expected a recession. Bullish sentiment rose to 48.6% in the last week. That's a notch down from the recent peak in December, but well above the historical average of 37.5%, according to the American Association of Individual Investors. Now, those views have been shaped in large by some tangible evidence of cooling inflation, a comparatively strong economy, and the Fed's own guidance after policymakers surprised markets with a dovish pivot last month. And with stocks nearing record highs and at an elevated valuation, some investors now worry the market's sunny outlook leaves more room for disappointment if any of those scenarios do not materialize. Anything that throws off the current economic narrative or market narrative, the risk of that disappointment flowing through to prices and equities is higher, said Yung-Yu Ma, Chief Investment Officer at BMO Wealth Management. One test of investors' optimism comes with next week's consumer price data, which could show whether recent bets on ebbing inflation have been premature. Expectations for a cooling economy that could set the stage for Fed rate cuts took a hit on Friday, of course, after those job numbers came out. Now, interestingly, analysts expect the S&P 500 earnings to rise by 11% in 2024 after increasing just 3% in 2023. That's according to LSEG data. Pressure to meet those higher earnings targets may be more intense than a year ago, as the market's overall valuations have climbed. The S&P 500 trades at a forward price-to-earnings ratio of 19.5%, compared with about 17 times at the start of 2023. We don't expect multiples to expand significantly from here because valuations are stretched a bit, so it's going to come down to where the earnings comes in, said James Reagan, Director of Wealth Management Research at D.A. Davidson. Reagan puts fair value on the S&P 500 at 4,700, which is roughly where it is trading now. And I have this theory that at the start of each new year, analysts start with a typical 10% expectation, which they then have to trim back in terms of earnings. So looking ahead, investors, of course, will parse the messages from the Fed at the end of its January 30-31 policy meeting. The markets expect the central bank to leave rates unchanged this month, and bets for a cut in the March meeting have been pared back. It's worth noting, by the way, that over the past 12 easing cycles since 1970, the S&P 500 has tended to rally for the 6th or 7 months after the first rate cut, with an average gain of around 12%. That's according to Ned Davis Research. Keith Lerner, co-chief investment officer at Truist Advisory Services, said in a recent note that the bar for positive surprises has risen, and he expects a digestion period for the markets after a strong run. He still believes, however, that stocks are likely to rise in 2024. Stick with the underlying positive market trend and be prepared to use pullbacks as opportunities, he said. Turning to oil prices, they rose on Friday, boosted by signs of underlying strength in the US economy, as well as the potential for supply disruption in the crucial Middle East region. US crude futures traded 2.44% higher at $73.95 a barrel, and the Brent contract climbed 1.69% to $78.90 a barrel. Supporting the crude market are the ongoing concerns over disruption in the Red Sea. That, of course, is disrupting the crucial oil-rich region. Shipping giant Maersk said in a statement on Friday that it would divert its vessels away from the Red Sea region for the foreseeable future, with the world's second largest shipper calling the situation in the region a crucial trade artery between Europe and Asia, highly volatile. Meanwhile, those disruptions to Middle East supplies drove a recovery in crude this week. The rebound was limited, though, by data showing a massive build-up in US oil production inventories in the final week of 2023. The reading indicated that demand remained weak in the world's largest fuel consumer. A rebound in the dollar also weighed on oil prices as the greenback raced to over three-week highs on growing uncertainty over the Federal Reserve's plan for interest rate cuts. The DXY was last at 102.43. Early data indicates that global oil consumption in December grew at the slowest pace in 9 months, according to JP Morgan. The research firm, however, said despite undershooting expectations in the last month of 2023, global oil demand growth was in line with yearly expectations. And while demand in December possibly grew 1.3 million barrels a day year on year, demand for the whole of 2023 was estimated to have grown 1.8 million barrels a day. US gasoline demand in the last month of 2023 is expected to come in at about 8.6 million barrels a day. That's 100,000 barrels a day lower than what was expected 2 weeks ago by the New York-based firm. And in Europe, most countries reported a decline in oil demand due to continued weakness in industrial fuels, LPG, and lower seasonal uptake in heating oil due to a milder winter. China's demand showed the country saw an average of 16.4 million barrels a day in the last quarter of 2023. That's 100,000 barrels a day above JP Morgan estimates. And investors and analysts expect interest rate cuts in major oil-consuming regions and lower oil prices to boost that demand. The difference between the IEA and OPEC estimates for demand growth this year stands at 1.15 million barrels per day in 2024, equivalent to roughly 1% of daily world oil use in the year. A Reuters survey of 30 economists and analysts forecast that Brent crude will average $84.43 a barrel and US crude will average $78.84 a barrel in 2024. Turning to gold, it wobbled this week after the momentous breakout upleg into nominal record territory. Last Thursday, gold slipped a modest 0.5% on gold futures selling as the US dollar bounced a bit after a sizable sell-off, and another 0.5% down day was suffered on Wednesday, partially on the minutes of the Fed's latest open market committee meeting. It was last at $2,052.70. an ounce. Gold had blasted 2.3% higher on the day that the FOMC decision dovishly surprised on key fronts. The actual monetary policy statement, though, added a qualifier, making further rate cuts sound less likely. And top Fed officials cut their year-end 2024 federal funds rate projections by just 50 basis points, and the Fed chair himself had made some dovish comments at his press conference. Traders, of course, ran with that, pricing in 6 25 basis point rate cuts in 2024. Yet, the Fed has only been looking at 3, so the minutes from that December the 13th FOMC meeting, just released this last Wednesday, were a chance to push back. Right after the meeting, the Fed chair said rate cut timing was discussed, but the minutes didn't reflect the FOMC shifting to a cutting bias. Either they were sanitized to rein in rate cut expectations, or the Fed chair misspoke, or traders interpret Jerome Powell wrongly. But if you keep the big picture in focus, gold surged to $2,071 an ounce in December, achieving its first new nominal record in 3.3 years. Then gold slumped, leading into that FOMC meeting, which was expected to come in pretty hawkish, When it didn't, gold surged again, rallying back to a second record close of $2,077 on December the 27th, and gold has just pulled back 1.4% as at the middle of the week. And it's worth underscoring that central banks globally continue to gobble up gold in November, adding another 44 tons to their reserves, according to the most recent data from the World Gold Council. In fact, Turkey was the biggest gold buyer in November, increasing its reserves by 25 tons as it continued to unwind a big sale that it made earlier in 2023. Turkey's central bank sold 160 tons of gold last spring, but returned to buying in the third quarter of 2023. According to the World Gold Council, the big gold sale was a specific response to local market dynamics and didn't appear to reflect a change in the Turkish central bank's long-term gold strategy. China, of course, continued to add gold to its reserves at a steady pace in November with a 12-ton purchase. That was the 13th straight month of gold buying for the People's Bank of China. Since the beginning of the year, the Chinese central bank has increased its official reserves by 216 tons, and it has added 267 tons since it resumed official purchases back in November 2022. And there has long been speculation that China, in fact, owns far more gold than it officially reveals. Many analysts believe that China keeps several thousand tons of gold off the books in a separate security called the State Administration for Foreign Exchange, or SAFE. And also at the end of 2022, there were large unreported increases in central bank gold holdings. Central banks that often fail to report purchases include China and Russia. So many analysts believe that China was in fact the mystery buyer stockpiling gold to minimize exposure to the dollar. So it's clear that gold will retain its value even when someone cuts off the power to the global financial system, destroying traditional assets based on electric counting records. Of course, that's not something that we can foresee or assume, but as the saying goes, forewarned is forearmed. And the central bank is required to be prepared for even those most unfavorable circumstances. And the World Gold Council said it's all but certain that central banks will continue another colossal year of buying after a record-setting 2022. Now, over in the Eurozone, inflation data on Friday showed that prices in the currency block rose 2.9% on a year-on-year basis in December. That's up from 2.4% in November, and potentially creating less urgency for the ECB to start cutting borrowing costs from record highs. The headline prints for France and Germany both crept higher earlier in the week, by the way. And the economic news in Europe does remain worrying, with German retail sales falling 2.5% in the month of November. That's a sharp retreat after a gain of 1.1% in the previous month. As a result of all this, European stock markets fell on Friday. The DAX index in Germany traded 0.14% lower. The CAC 40 in France traded down 0.4%. And the FTSE in London fell 0.43%. The 10-year German bond, which is an important benchmark, was last at 2.1740, up 3.28%. Now that's perhaps sending a message globally about the direction of interest rates ahead. Most Asian stocks moved little on Friday as they steadied after a weak start to the new year, although there was some anticipation of the key US payroll data. And of course, the persistent concerns over China did keep investors on edge. Most regional markets closed lower for the week after tracking losses on Wall Street over the first few trading days of 2024. The New Year's losses were driven by a mix of profit-taking and growing doubts about early interest rate cuts from the Fed. Concerns over China also weighed on Asian markets after the ratings agency Fitch on Thursday downgraded the country's four biggest state-backed asset managers. Chinese stocks were the worst performers in Asia through 2023, and extended this underperformance into the first week of the new year. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and the Shanghai Composite Indexes both moved down on Friday, as did Hong Kong's Hang Seng. In fact, all three indices were down between 0.7 and 2.5% this week, severely lagging other Asian peers. Broader Asian markets moved in a tight range and were headed for weekly losses amid a mix of profit-taking and angst over the Fed. Japan's Nikkei 225 index, though, rose 0.4% but was down 0.1% in the week, as sentiment towards Japan was also rattled by the devastating earthquake in the country. South Korea's KOSPI fell 0.35% and was down around 3% in the week. That comes under pressure from losses in heavyweight technology stocks. India's Nifty 50 index was flat, although optimism over the Indian economy does keep the index in sight of record highs. A Reuters poll showed that markets expect the Indian government to project a higher gross domestic product rate for 2024 of around 7%. The Indian economy is the fastest growing major economy over the past year, a trend that drove heavy buying into Indian markets. Now in Australia, the Australian share market rounded out its worst start to the year in more than a decade on Friday, as the broad rally staged in the end of 2023 lost steam. The S&P ASX 200 ended Friday's sessions just 5 points lower at 7,481 as traders waited that US jobs report. The benchmark closed out its first week of the new year down 1.3% after rallying more than 7% last month on hopes that central banks would begin cutting interest rates sooner than expected. The week marked the benchmark's worst first-week performance since 2007. IML's senior portfolio managers Hugh Giddy and Simon Conn said they expected Australian shares to remain volatile despite the hopes for a fall in inflation. Bullish commentators appear to think interest rate cuts are not far away in Australia, the pair told investors in a note on Friday. But it's important to note that while goods price rises have moderated significantly, services inflation is more persistent. Unless the economy weakens abruptly, interest rates may remain at elevated levels in Australia for some time. Tech stocks were the worst performing ones on the ASX on Friday, falling 2.1% to end the week 5.4% lower. Iron ore miners also dragged the ASX lower after futures pricing for the commodity in Singapore slipped 2%, dropping back below $140 per tonne after a strong rally in recent weeks. Rio Tinto fell 1.6% to $132.36. Fortescue was 2.6% lower at $28.19, and BHP was 1% lower to $49.07. ASX gold miners rose in the final session of the week, though, after the price of the precious metal edged higher overnight. Newmont gained 1.1% to $59.60 and Northern Star Resources 1.3% to $12.96. Finance was the best performing sector on the benchmark, with the index heavyweight Commonwealth Bank up 1.35% to $112.99. QBE Insurance climbed 2% to $15.04 and Suncorp was 1.4% up to $13.99. In corporate news, Core Lithium fell 11.5% to 23 cents after pausing mining at its Northern Territory mine amid a sustained slump in the price of the commodity. Scrap metals recyclers Sims dropped 6% to 14.19 after it was cut to a sell rating by analysts at Citi. And over in crypto land, the cryptocurrency market witnessed a surge in investor confidence, with Bitcoin breaking past the $44,000 mark as the market capitalization reached $1.66 trillion. But it was back to $43,778, down 1.04% more recently. This uptick in the crypto market is partially attributed to the recent filings by Grayscale and Van Dyke for spot ETFs with the Securities and Exchange Commission, which has contributed to a more bullish investor sentiment. In parallel, Ethereum has also experienced price increases with significant whale accumulation, perhaps signaling a robust market level of confidence, but more recently it came back down to $2,239.90. That's down 1.27%. So standing back, my view is that we're going to be sitting on a very volatile market for some time yet. The expectations of rate cuts were overdone, and the markets have yet to come to terms with that. Locally, in the Australian context, again, I don't see market cuts anytime soon. I think we're going to muddle through 2024 with higher rates than expected, which means that the rest of the market will probably be quite wobbly too. So as I said at the front of the show, expect significant volatility because that dragon has not yet been slayed. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.